The reason why we keep in the days of the Oima, we keep Minog Avelus. And obviously the reason is because in the Gemara says that between Pesach and Atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos, Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim died. And the Gemara therefore says that since they died, we must keep some Minhoge Yavelus, Minhogim of Mourners, to remember and to be Mischazik and to learn from this episode of the many Talmidim Rabbi Akiva who died in that period of time. Now, the Gemara does say that the reason why they died is a punishment because of they did not treat each other respectfully. So although they were goyse tanoim, the goyse gedolim and tzadikim, they were lacking in bedolim lechaveret, they were lacking in respecting one another. The Gemara does not explain this much further there. The Gemara doesn't explain what did they do exactly. What is it that they did? What is it? Did they slap each other? Did they kick each other? What is it that they did? What was exactly the action of disrespect? Where were they lacking exactly in lack of respect? It remains open because the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what happened. What is it exactly that happened? They were disrespectful, so please explain. What did they do? And the Gemara does not explain. So I saw that one of the Mefarshim, the Hilchos Hak B'Chag, Rav Moshe Melchikah, Shlita, he discusses in his sefer, and he said, but where? So it must be a Chazal telling us something somewhere. It must be somewhere. So of course there's Pshatim, there's Pshatlach. What did it wrong? There's Pshatlach, yes, fair enough. But Tachlis, Gemara, Shas, where does it say anywhere what they did? And this is only one place where you find something very, very subtle about the Talmidim Rebbe Akiva, and that's elsewhere. So the Gemara says that we know that the Rebbe Akiva, it's not that Gemara, it's a different Gemara altogether. We know what's of Rebbe Akiva. He was a very posh Tam Oretz until he was 40 years old. His wife Rochel encouraged him to learn Torah. We all know the story. And he went to yeshiva to learn, literally from a complete Am Oretz. He developed in Talmud Chacham. 12 years later, he comes and he overhears us saying that, you know what, if he could come now, it'd send him another 12 years to learn. And so it makes a U-turn. He goes back, learns for another 12 years, and he comes back after 24 years. He comes back with thousands and thousands of Talmidim. And as he comes back, he's about to say something. And the Gemara there, he says something very interesting. As he's about to speak to his wife, he comes back with lines and cues of Talmidim behind him. Thousands of Talmidim. These are the famous Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. And they're all trying to listen to the words of Rabbi Akiva. As he's speaking, the Gemara there says, they were pushing each other to hear the words of Rabbi Akiva. They pushed each other, like shoveling, you know, when there's like a big god letzadik, a god ladoir, and everybody wants to hear what he says. They were pushing each other, shoveling kind of each other. He says, that's the only time we find something about their behavior, or rather, their misbehavior. He says, this must be the crucial point, says Hilchos Chag V'Chag, says Rav Moshe Melchikah, that's the disrespect they had. They wanted to push each other, even to learn Torah. So although, of course, they had a great, it was something very special about it, really. They were pushing each other to hear Torah. But even if it's to hear Torah, there's no justification to push each other, somebody. Don't push somebody down if you want to just learn Torah. Don't push somebody away for you to hear Torah. This is the only place we find that disrespect was in connection of learning Torah. It doesn't justify. Just because you want to hear Shir, you want to hear Godel, you want to hear Tzaddik, you want to learn Torah, it doesn't allow you to be disrespectful to someone another. And that's the punishment. That was the punishment. The punishment was, although the Gedolim were Tzaddikim, and they were learning Torah, but they pushed each other to learn Torah, even if it's for mitzvah purpose, don't push somebody else. Don't push him to the side, surely don't push him down. And that was their chet, and that's why they were nifter. I thought it was a beautiful, very, very powerful one. Right, so it sounds like the answer must be, so he explains in a different shtickle, he says that, could be that you're not chayv misa for it. You're right. You're not chayv misa for being disrespectful to somebody. However, they would have been the holding the torch of Torah. They would be the Talmidim Rebbe Akiva. They would have really been the ones taking the tradition of the Torah onto the next generation. And that they were not worthy of that.
They were like the foundation.
So. Yeah. So they were not worthy of it. They were not wearing holding the torch of Torah. They were not worthy of it. If you're not respectful to somebody, you can't be the next generation leader of Torah. You can't. So you don't deserve punishment, death punishment per se, but you can't be the next godel And therefore. Right, okay. Let us move on. We see in Kuf Chav Dalet. See, hey, bottom line. I'll call bracha shadim shemea. On every bracha that a person hears. Bechol mokoyim, in any place. Oimer, he says, Baruch Hu, Hashem is gebenched, Hashem is blessed. Uvaruch Shemoi, and his name is gebenched. So we're learning, whenever you hear a bracha, you say, Baruch Hu, Uvaruch Shemoi. Sifkot nchavala v'mishnebu. Avimuayme b'mokim, if he's holding in a place, She'einu rishay lehafzik, in a place that you're not allowed to stop. Kegoin, such as, Psuka de Zimra, in the middle of Psuka de Zimra. Kolshken, even more so. Pebirkas kia Shema in the brachos of reciting Shema. Afilu ben apokim, even between paragraphs. Also, it is not permitted, lo'omu to say. Fechein simlerim, Shema bracha shechayev boy. If you hear bracha, you chayev. Fu mischaven lotzeis ala de amevorech. If you hear a bracha that you want to be yoitze from that bracha, kebirkas shoifa, such as the bracha of Shoifa, Umegillah, the bracha of the Megillah, Fekiddush, Vechagavna, and similar, and anything similar. Hey Lanos, you do not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi, Teshemea Koine, you are listening and you are as if you're participating in that bracha. Fekemand Omar Be'atzma Bracha Dami, it's if you're saying, reciting the bracha yourself, Fave Hefzik Bebracha, and it's a Hefzik in the bracha. Vechaodom, the Nisha Betzoichian, Chaodom Lizu Tzoichian, the Elenin Devet, Fenirani Devet, and Achmi, I'm Besef Mogan Gibor, Mashkos Beshem Masirokach. Mishneh Berurah's two points are critical over here. The Mishneh Berurah says, first of all, Shulchan Aruch says, you need to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. Point number one. Point number two, first point in Mishneh Berurah, whenever you are in the middle of a place, you're not allowed to interrupt, you're not going to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. Point number two. Finally, point number three, whenever you are Yoytze with that bracha, you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. Such as, Pirkas Shoifa, such as Pirkas Megillah, such as Kiddush for the listeners, you will not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. So much so, that if you did say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi, could be that you're not Yoytze the Bracha. Why is that? Because it's a Hefzik. It's because when you are Shemea Ka'oine, how does it work normally? When the person recites the Bracha of the Shoifa, you're listening to it. How does it work? How Yoytze the Bracha? You didn't say it yourself. How Yoytze? That's right. Shemea Koine. You're listening as if you're reciting yourself. Well, if you're reciting yourself, you can't interrupt your own sentence in say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. You can't say Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It doesn't make sense. So therefore, since you're Yotze through Shemea Koine, so therefore you can't interrupt in the middle of saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. So it's a real interruption. It's a hefzik. However, if you're not Yotze with the Baruch, you can say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. Yeah. Yeah. You're not Yotze, you're not being Yotze because you are Boki. You said the Shemoneh Esrei yourself already.
You're not Boki, you don't do that.
Correct. If somebody is Yotze through the Shemoneh Esrei, he shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. It's interesting, I'm going to mention briefly that the Vilna Gaon, they never said Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. It is not, there's many explanations in why the Vilna Gaon, he didn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. The reason is not clear. So either he was worried of missing the Bracha later on, a very practical answer, or it could be that he felt that you need to be Yotze to Shliach Tzibu, the Chazor Sashatz. There's an obligation to listen to Chazor Sashatz. So for that, maybe you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. So whatever, but there is a Vilna Gaon who actually says you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. Yeah. If you're not Yotze through it? Yeah, because you read, so the answer is that in reality, yes, one should. If you can, but often you're going to miss the end of the bracha, and therefore you should rather have the Amen rather than the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. But if it's possible, yeah. Okay, Mishneh Berurah Sifkot Nechav Beis Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. V'remez lazeh, mimah she'omer ha'kosov, kishem Hashem Ekro, v'godel Elokeinu. So, if the pasuk says, kishem Hashem Ekro, ho v'godel Elokeinu. V'oit, an additional reason why we say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoi. If a person mentions a tzaddik made out of flesh and blood, we need to bench a tzaddik. When you say a tzaddik, you say shenema zeich tzaddik levocha. When you say a name of a tzaddik who is deceased, what do you say? Zeich tzaddik levocha. So it says tzaddik shalom olam. So if more so, ribono shalom malachas kama vekama. So he says. So he says that. So two reasons why we say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy. Either because it says in the pasuk Kishem Hashem Echa, or because when you mention Tzaddik, you say you bench him. So even more so when Hashem's name is mentioned, you should bench. Okay. See Vav in Shulchan Aruch, page 296 in the top. V'yanu Omen Achakol Bracha. You should say Omen after every single bracha. Bein Oisam Shiyotzi Detfila. Bein Oisam Shelo Yotzu. Uve kavona. You should either way. You should say amen after the after the bracha. Uve kavona. With a kavona. Shechavim b'libo emes hi habracha shebeich hamavoich v'ani ma'amin b'zeh. He says that the halacha is you should have the kavona when you say bracha v'och shemoy. Excuse me, I'm talking about amen now. V'yanu amen after kol bracha. You should say amen after every bracha. So whilst bracha v'och shemoy, you should only say if you're not yotze. With regards to amen, you should say amen after every bracha you hear. And what does amen mean? So the Shulchan Aruch explains what amen means. Amen is shechavim b'liboy, should have intention. Emesi, it is true. Habracha, the bracha is true. It's the ultimate truth. Shebech hamavorech, the bracha that the person who made the bracha is true. V'ani imam b'zeh, and I believe in it. So the amen means it's emes, it is true. Yes. Because there is it doesn't matter to make a hefsek. It's not a hefsek at the end of the bracha. No hefsek anymore. Correct? Sif Katan Chav Hei Mishnah Bura. Chav Hei Mishnah Bura. Emesi, Vizeu Birkas Hoyd, Bevirkas Hoydor. This is true by Birkas Hoydor, Kagoin, such as Boch Shama, Veshtabach, Vigol Israel. But when it comes to Shemoneh Esre, Tzorich Sheichaven, you need to have intention when you say Omein, Emesi, Vigamani Mispalel, Shirotzen Shikurim Davazeh. So he says that when it comes to Boch and Shemoneh Esre, your intention by saying Omein needs to be slightly different. It's not just that it's true, but it's also I also share the same bracha. So when Hashem, when the Chazan says Baruch Atah Hashem Choinin Ados, it's not just that it's true; it's also that I join for that tefillah as well. You're joining the tefillah. Yeah. Uve Kaddish. I'm skipping the bracket. Uve Kaddish with regards to Kaddish. Tzorich lechavin ala osid levad. You mind is specifically with regards to the future. Sheemonu dvorov. He should be established, the truth that it should be established. When the person says Kaddish, he says, Amen, yes, it's true, I also want the absolute revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem will reveal himself. Okay, moving on to Siv Zayin. Lo yosiach sichas chulin. You may not talk idle talk peshah at the time shiachtziv achoizah at tefillah. You may not talk during Chazaros Hashatz, ve'imsoch. And if a person does talk during Shemoneh Esre, he is a sinner. A person talking in the middle of Shemoneh in Chazaros Hashatz is a sinner. Ve'godoil avoinoi minsoi. The avera is too great to carry. Godoil avoinoi minsoi, it's too great to carry. Ve'goyeran boy, you should scream at him. Ve'ilameit bonov, a person to teach his sons, haktanim, his young children, shianu omen, they should say omen. You should teach your young children to say omen. Kimiad shatinuk oine omen. That's the famous quotation from a call boy. Immediately when a young child can say omen, yeshli chelik lamabo, he has got share in the next world. Very important Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says a person should never talk in the middle of Chazaros Hashatz. If a person does talk Chas V'Shalom, it's a terrible avera, and you're allowed to protest. And we're learning that a person should teach children to say Omein, and once they say Omein, they've got a share in the next world. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Chavav, B'Shah, Roi Tzeloi Ma, Ha'afilu Im Yirtze Lizor Lebasoif Kol Brocha Lechavan Anias Omein. A person should not talk, even if he's going to catch the omen at the end of the bracha. You may not talk. Katzav Shlo, the Shlo Hakadosh says, "Ro'isi ma'acharedim." I've seen God-fearing Yidden They put the seed in front of them. They put the seed in front of the eyes during Chazor Shachatz. And the eyes and the heart is there. Look outside of the Siddur. Because Mechavna Komila Milo, and they have intention on every single word. And that's a beautiful thing. Siv Kotten Chav Zayin, Minnesoy. Kosva Eli Rabbe, B'Shem HaKolbo. Eli Rabbe said the name of the Kolboy. Oy La Anoshim, Shemesichim Meisaz Atfila. Terrible on woe on those Yidden who speak during Chazor Shachatz. Kiroinu kama batei kneses nechvu b'shvil avodzei. We've seen many batei kneses who have been destroyed because of this avera. V'yesh limnois anosh lemanois anoshim. One should appoint men. Yudum leashkiach alzei. One should appoint people who make sure it doesn't happen. The Mishnah Berurah says in the name of earlier poskim that the batei medrash were destroyed because of talk during Chazor Shachatz. People say, I didn't actually see it in Chaznish's side. I don't think the Chaznish writes it, and maybe he does. But there is a rumor going around that the Chaznish said, now I can't confirm it. Chaznish apparently was asked, why is it that whilst Ashkenaz and Poland and all of Europe, in fact, was pretty much destroyed completely and utterly, Lithuania, Hungary, Austria was completely destroyed during the Second World War. Most European nations were completely, Yiddishkeit was completely and utterly burned to ashes. Millions of Yidden killed. It's very noticeable that the Sfardi Kehilois, all the Yotze Sfard, all the communities in, we have called the Sfardim in Hogem, whether it is the Moroccan Yidden, whether it is the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, which existed then already, whether it's what are the Sfardi, the Moroccan, the Spanish Eden, that's right, absolutely. They're all completely spared during the war. How can I? It's very noticeable, isn't it? It's very noticeable, no? How come? So apparently the Chazon Ish was quoted. I don't think he writes it in the Sefer. I don't think so. He said, because the Sfardim were always very, very makbit about not talking in shul. Apparently, I didn't daven so many times in Sfardish shuls, in real Sfardish shuls. I don't know what it was, but apparently they were always extremely makbid about the covered Beis HaMedrash. Yeah, is that something which they're very, very makbid. Chaznish apparently said that's the reason why they were spared. That's why they were spared during the Second World War. That's why they were scared during the Holocaust, during the Shoah. They were spared because they were particularly makbid about not talking, surely particularly during Chazor HaShatz. Apparently, so I don't know. Does that reflect your knowledge as well? Yeah, point taken.
Taken into account.
Point taken. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like Chachamim created a massive poor Bereshit Rabbim by the Masechet Chazara. If there hadn't been the Masechet Chazara, there wouldn't be this enormous avodah that's too great to carry. And they did.
It seems that it is feasible. It's within expectation to not talk for 5 minutes. It sounds, Chazal expected us to be able to do it. You're right. The Aver is terrible if a person can't hold himself back, but it looks like it is within expectation. Make sense?
LMI, you see that, I mean, books have been written about it.
Right.
It looks like people didn't.
It looks like people did, many people didn't, yeah. But I think it's fair to say that it's within expectation. We're going to see even more what the Rambam is going to say later, but yeah. Right. It's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah says one should have in every shul, there should be policemen around. I'm using the Lashon policeman. But you should have people around that that tell people to be quiet because those are shots. I think Baruch Hashem nowadays many shuls don't need it anymore. But it says that's what he says. In the name of the Pimagodim, you should ask point people to make sure people don't talk during davening. So what does that teach us? The fact that you have to ensure people, you can appoint people, you should appoint people to make sure people don't talk. What does that teach us? Good, but I see something else as well. What happens if you are in shul and you are obviously not talking and the person on your right starts a good schmooze about the weather?
You have some responsibility for other Yidden.
Very good. So I would have said, Godel avonim soi, I'm doing all right. I'm not going to talk. Let it be his business. I'm seeing to my business. Let him see to his business kind of thing. And, you know, I'm going to be nice and British and I'm going to elegantly look into the other direction. But it sounds like from the Mishneh Berurah here, in the name of the Pimagodim, that's not the right way. It sounds like that if there is an achais to appoint, tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like from the Mishneh Berurah, getting what you tying, that if there is an obligation to appoint, he said not an obligation, but if it's the right thing to appoint people within the shul that are acting as ensuring that nobody talks, he would appear that it's our obligation that nobody talks in shul. Yeah, what are you tying it? Yeah. Now these techochas don't work. Yeah, I do not know if that's all within the ghetto of techocha. Maybe. If it is whether techocha, it's in the ghetto of your obligation to have a chazos hashat, which is on a certain level. So it could be that's not within techocha at all. It's that you have to ensure that the shul has that kind of chazos hashat. Could be it's not techocha. Could be even if you know he's not going to listen, you have to do it again. You think that probably not? It's within techocha. If it's not techocha, you're right. Yeah. I'm not sure it's within Tichocha. That it's not Tichocha. It's pshat is that even if you know it, you have to ensure that it's your obligation, not to be Mechiachem, but is that the Chazos HaShatz in the shul needs to have a certain. Listen. It may not be within the. Yeah, but it could be that's not. The source is not. The reason why you're doing it is not as Tichocha. Yeah, as far as he's concerned, yeah. You're saying that it's not going to work. Yeah, could be. If it's not going to work. I mean. Yeah, no, it's very true. Techocha nowadays is very good. You remind me a story of, do you know the story of the Sidi Eish and Reb Shimshon of all Weiss? The famous story. Did I share it once? Please allow me to share this for 1 minute. So, let me just go a bit longer and I'm going to get back to your point, okay? The Mishneh Berurah says about Ketanim, about young children. There's also a point I want to share with you over here. Mishneh Berurah says it's Kotn Chof Ches. It's your obligation as a father to ensure that your kids are standing with fear over Yiro. They should stand during Chazal Shatz. It's your obligation as a father to ensure that the kids are standing nicely during Chazal Shatz. It's your obligation. So we learned in previous Mishneh Berurahs, if they're too young to come, so fine, so let them not come. If they can't make it, then don't force them, don't make them a bitter experience from day number one. So it's your obligation to ensure that they can stand by aim of you. That's what the Mishneh Berurah said to me. If they're really young, they're running around in shul laughing, better not to bring them. If they can't stand appropriately, don't bother bringing them. The hergel nasateva, an expression of the Mishneh Berurah, the hergel, once they get used to it, nasateva becomes nature. So that you're not doing any mitzvah by training them into running to shul. You're not doing any mitzvah by training them to run and be immature in shul. וגם additionally, שמטרידים הציבור התפלוס and disturbing it into daven. מלבד כל זה, besides all that, נכון, it is proper to love, להביא קטנים כאלה לבית הכנסת, להשקיע אחד בגדיהם וסנדליהם עם אלה נקיים. If you have got children that you think they may be dirty, their clothes may be dirty, either externally or internally, they may be dirty, their shoes may have just stepped into something, they may not be dirty. You have to check your children that they don't create an issa in shul to daven. You have to ensure that people davening next to your children, they're not over anything. If for some reason they're not clean, so it's your problem. You have to ensure that the kids don't disturb others of davening in any perspective. This is what the Mishneh Berurah says, the importance of ensuring that the kids are A, they're old enough to daven be'im over yira, and B, that they don't disturb others of davening in any way. Right, okay, just to share that story that you mentioned, there was a very interesting shaila in the mid-1930s. It was the Rabbinah Seminar in Berlin. Rabbi said there was a very prominent Rabbinah Seminar in Berlin, which was the Rabbinical Institute of the Yekish Kehillah in Berlin. It was a very prestigious, very, very prestigious kollel. And it trained the potential Talmidei Chacham into Rabbonim. That was the clear agenda. It was a kollel that made Rabbonim. It was very successful for many years. It was founded by Hagana Tzadik Basil Hildesheimer, and it was later on. It was a very, very prominent, probably the most prominent kollel or yeshiva in Germany. In the mid-1930s, there was a very bad gzeira, without going into details, in Germany, that the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, one of the early gzeiros that they established, is that they had to accept everybody. They weren't up to killing them at that point, but they said that the communities have to merge, and therefore the Reform community in Berlin, which was very, very large, had to merge with the Fum community, without going into details. And part of that was that the Lehrerseminar, there was a reform. I'm not going to call it a Kol Yeshiva. I'm going to call it college, university, and they were forced to merge with the famous Rabbinah Institute. Now, the person who was in charge at that point was this Heilige Sidi Eish, who was a Gvaldik Gaon and a Tzaddik, the Sidi Eish, who later on after will move to Switzerland. And the Sidi Eish didn't know what to do. On the one hand, there's no, just what would you do? Would you merge a prominent, prestigious Kol to merge with proper Kofrim? Would you really do that? Or at that point, would you say, I'm closing it down. No point having merged. Imagine, it's no point merging these kind of institutes together. You're killing Torah, destroying Torah. On the other hand, maybe save what's left to save. But he wasn't sure what to do. The Heilige Sidi Eish wasn't sure what to do. Rabbi Isai, what would you say? Maybe slightly similar. Yeah. So, Rabbi Isai, what would you do? Hard one. Very hard one. So he asked this Shaila to one of the Talmidim of the Chazon Eish, of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim wasn't alive anymore. He asked one of the and he replied then in the name of the Chofetz Chaim the following. He said, nowadays, I just quickly forgot who he was. Was it Reb Chaim Oizer or I forgot now who he was. Couldn't have been Reb Chaim Oizer. Yeah, maybe Reb Chaim Oizer. I forgot who he was. One of Gdolim. And he replied in the name of the Chofetz Chaim the following. He said that the Chofetz Chaim said that nowadays we cannot assume that anybody is, we can't assume that anybody is a real genuine Kofer. And because what really is that everybody is just complete, never had a proper Teichocha. Nobody's really heard the proper Mahalach. Nobody's ever been. So we can't be Mechiach anymore nowadays. We can't. He said that. You can't assume that they're proper Kofim. He said, and the reason was as follows. The Chofetz Chaim once went, and he said there was a Kehillah not next to Radin, that there was Yidnu and Mechal Shabbos. Two Yidnu and Mechal Shabbos. And they tried everything to keep them, to close the shops on Shabbos, and they refused. Chofetz Chaim went there once, and he said, I'll see to it. And he was with them for 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, they kept Shabbos from then onwards. He said, because you don't have to speak to people, the Chofetz Chaim said, you don't have to speak to people. They're screaming, they're shouting, and you say, they're Kofrim. They're never going to keep Shabbos that way. The Chofetz Chaim was with them for 5 minutes, and he spoke to them the proper way, and he was mechiach them in the right way. He said, the Chocha doesn't come with sticks and with hammers. The Chocha comes with a smile and with a heart. And from then, they kept Shabbos. So he said, similarly also, when it comes to that marriage, he said, you can't just push them out Kofrim and throw them into the corner and on these difficult circumstances. They probably never had a good positive word. They probably never heard a Teichocha the way it should be. And therefore he passed that they should merge, and that's what they did, but he only said for a very short time because after he said to close down altogether. To recap what we covered, we spoke about Baruch Hu V'Och Shemoy. One should always say Baruch Hu V'Och Shemoy. We learned about a person should only say Baruch Hu V'Och Shemoy if he's not Yoytzi with the Bracha. If a person is Yoytzi with the Bracha, like Shofar Megill and Kiddush, you should not say Baruch Hu V'Och Shemoy. We learned that if it's a middle of Pesukah Zimri, you should not say Baruch Hu V'Och Shemoy. We learned that a person should say Amen after every bracha, whether it's Yotze or not. We learned that a person should not speak during Chazaras HaShatz. A person who does speak during Chazaras HaShatz is a great Avera, and he won't be able to carry that Avera. A person should teach his children to say Amen, and a child who says Amen, he's got Chelik L'Olam Abba. And finally, we learned that a person should not bring children to shul who may potentially disturb others. Continuation tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem.